But I have kids coming home from school, come in and give me $2, and said, "What for?" I said, "Well, I stole one of your Playboys last week, and I just have to pay you for it." It happened. I'll tell you the one funny one. There's a church on 31st right down the street from us, and the minister's son was maybe 7, 8, 9 years old. But anyway, he started to take a magazine. And I had a policy that whenever I caught these kids, I'll pick up the telephone and I'll make a call to the police. And, okay, no, I'll let him go, but okay. And they just said, "Good shaking," you know. So his son did that, and he went home crying. His dad called, and he said, "What happened to Johnny down there?" I said, "Well, I don't know if you want to know, but I did it for you. I gave him a lesson, and he was stealing a magazine." He said, "No, that's what I want to know. Thank you, thank you." He and his boy both came back and brought me the money. Now, 30 years later, the preacher came back in Tulsa, and he came to me and said, "I'm supposed to buy a book on Oklahoma." I said, "Well, okay." He said, "My son is a minister out in Seattle, and that's where he starts every new place he goes to tell that story."
How he stole a magazine.
Yeah, and how it changed his life.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I mean, this that's why I can't quit. I can't just sit. Because I'm always hearing those, I still hear them, and that's bread and butter. You're egotistical, but yet it's good for you.
It is. That's what made your business, because it was more than making a sale.
Yeah.
It was about people.
Yeah.
The store where you are now, has it always been laid out like it is today?
Nothing has changed. It's permanent. Just the bookshelves are moved around.
You know, it's interesting how you have that food bar back there.
I hate it. See, I had everything down at the other store, and I had to get back there and wash dishes just with the rest of them. That's what the boss always does. So when I came down here, I wasn't going to do that. Well, that business went with us, and I was back there washing dishes and doing the lunch hour and stuff. There never has been over 2 or 3 of those fountains in Tulsa. It was a real popular fountain down at the end of Boston. All the kids would drive and go down there after school. And so I bought that and put that in this store. Well, that rail on the fountain bar, if you put your hand under there, you'll feel gum, hard gum. Mm-hmm. And people say, "Why don't you take that off?" I said, "No, we have a lot of fun." And here comes somebody like Bob, the fortune, his wife, 6 of them. "I've got some gum under there, I know." And all those kids are men now, but they still recall that. It's always funny when they come and show their grandmother.
But you bought that from the fountain at Boston.
Yeah.
Did they close? Is that why you bought it from them?
Yeah, they closed. He died. Instead of having to build one, they just moved it over into mine. I didn't have to do anything.
So that bar comes from that fountain.
Yeah.
And that just happened when you were moving into your store.
Yeah. I got the ice cream machines. I got everything that goes with it. They almost gave it to me. We had a company here called Hawk's Ice Cream, real good ice cream. They moved it, put it in, hooked it up, never charged me a nickel as long as I buy his ice cream. I didn't have to pay anything. That's another case of the kind of people we have in Tulsa. They didn't have to do that. They knew good and well that I couldn't buy a new one. But they made the deal and they stayed with it.
It was a great time then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Now, you'll be talking to the people now are my age, and so they'll be bringing up stories like that too.
Could make deals on a handshake.
Yeah.